For any of you who don't know me, I'm Nick McQuaker. It's my privilege to serve the Sussex Social Partnership in a leadership role. And it really is fantastic to see so many booked up for this day and with us here on Zoom for this day of evangelism training. And I guess that you've signed up for this day and that you're here because, like me, you long for the people that you know, your family members, friends, neighbours, people you work alongside, people that you meet at the school gate, people that you come into contact with in your community. You long for them to know the Lord Jesus, to know life in Christ, but you also long that you would be better at telling them the gospel, at sharing the good news with them, at seeing the opportunities and taking the opportunities. And if you're like me, then you're very conscious that you need help. And we know that we need enabling by God's Spirit and we need help from his word, which is why we're delighted to welcome Rico Tice to be with us today, not just to be a trainer, but to be with us as a Bible teacher, to open up God's word to us. Rico, as many of you will know, is Minister for Evangelism at All Souls Langham Place, a church in central London. But many of us also know him through his work with Christianity Explored. And no doubt Rico will be sharing out of the context of his experience in both those ministry areas. But above all, he'll be opening up God's word for us. It's God's word that trains us, that feeds us, that encourages us, that helps us and helps us in our evangelism. So we look forward to all that Rico has to bring to us today out of the word of God. Just before we sort of get into the meat of the day, just one or two notices. So just the timing for the day, hopefully you've had that in advance on an email, and you'll know that we've got four sessions, four 1-hour sessions, two in the morning, two in the afternoon. We'll sort of try and keep you advised of the timing throughout the day. This first session will run from now till 11:30, then we'll have a half hour break, and our second session will run from 12 till 1. You should also have received a questionnaire to complete before we started, and a couple of handouts. If you didn't receive those, then just send a message through on the chat to event host. So just message on the chat, the event host, and just ask Christine, who's behind that name, to send through the handouts to you. You're probably also aware that we're using something called Slido for posting questions during the day. So you just go to slido.com in a web browser, put in event code 30503, 30503, and there that will open up this event, and you can just post questions or comments that you have during the day. And we don't promise to get to all the questions, but we'll certainly try to if we can. But I'm going to introduce Rico to you in a few moments and ask Rico one or two questions before handing over to him. But before we do that, John Hobbs, who is associate trainer with me for the Gospel Partnership, is going to lead us in prayer and commit this day to the Lord and pray for the Lord's presence and help with us in all that we're doing together today. So, John, over to you.
Thanks, Nick. Hi, everyone. Let's just have a moment of quiet and listen to these words from Psalm 51, King David's great prayer of confession and repentance. He prays, "Hide your face from my sins and blot out all my iniquity. Create in me a pure heart, O God, and renew a steadfast spirit within me. Do not cast me from your presence or take your Holy Spirit from me. Restore to me the joy of your salvation and grant me a willing spirit to sustain me. Then I will teach transgressors your ways so that sinners will turn back to you." Gracious God and Father, as we pause before the beginning of this day, we are amazed again at your glorious grace to us in the Lord Jesus. We thank you, gracious Lord, that you have so loved us that you sent him into this world to suffer death upon the cross, satisfying your justice, and gifting to us his righteousness so that we can be counted right before you and adopted as your children. We praise you that he has been raised up as Lord, the King of a new creational kingdom, a kingdom that is now at work in us, at your children. And Father, we thank you for this good news to us that brings to us joy in our salvation. But we're mindful, Heavenly Father, that this present time, it is one in which you call us and equip us to make that salvation known to others. And so we do confess our sins again, our sins in the area of evangelism. Father, we're so mindful how complacent we are about the lostness of this world, how cold-hearted we are about the wonders of your kingdom that our world so needs. We're mindful of how cowardly we can be when faced with potential discomfort in making our glorious Lord Jesus known. So please forgive us. And Father, would you please be at work within us by your Spirit today, restoring to us first and foremost a joy in our salvation from which we would seek to turn sinners back to you. Father, remind us of all that we have in the gospel, the good news that we have to share. We pray, O Lord, that you'd help Rico as he communicates, to communicate ably for us in this environment. We pray the technology would run smoothly. We pray, Heavenly Father, you'd make us humble, reverent listeners to what he has to say. And Father, we pray that you would instill in us such a concern for your glory and such a love for the lost that we would step over whatever boundaries to make Christ known. Help us to see how we can use the people that you've made us to be as those who would make disciples of others. And Father, we ask all this for the glory of your great name. Amen. Amen.
Thank you, John. Hopefully Rico is somewhere amongst this great Zoom crowd, and I'm just going to ask Rico one or two questions, but just so that we can get to know Rico a little bit before we hear from him. Rico, do you want to just tell us a bit about home life, personal life, the people in your life who are important to you?
Yeah, I'm married to Lucy. We got married in 2008. She actually came to faith on a Christian Explorer course in 2003, but then we got married in 2008, and we've got three kids. So yesterday was a day of great joy as they went back to school. So Peter is 10, Daniel is 8. Daniel means the Lord is my judge. He's not worked that out yet. And then we've got Mercy, who's 5. And of course, it's ridiculous we called her Mercy because I spend my life going, because with two older brothers, as you can imagine, leave Mercy alone, Mercy! So that's what tends to be how it works. Yeah. And in a little flat in central London.
Okay. It has been just the most extraordinary year. For many of us, it's been a really difficult year. How have you found this past year? How's it impacted family life? What have been the challenges for you? What's encouraged you, sustained you this past year?
Yeah, look, it has been hard, and I think it's been hard because I've not been quite certain how to work out how to handle the pressures. But certainly there are a couple of times when I've really lost my temper at home, and I'm ashamed of that. So I think, we've just found the unrelenting, just, you know, the same day each day a little bit. I think in some ways the Lord just in a tiny way has given us a little view on hell. That it, you know, unrelentingly the same every day. You know, there's just been that. Of course, there's so many blessings he gives, but there's been a touch of that. I've thought, gosh, here we go. But at the same time, I must say, with the Christian Explored, just amazing how many people are coming on Zoom. You know, last night there was a couple who are parents of someone at All Souls who came from South Devon, and another one from North Devon. I'm not sure what's going on in Devon, but we had these dear people coming on the course on my table, who would never get there, and elderly too, so wouldn't really maybe come out at night. So the challenges have been huge, but the opportunities amazing as well.
So just say a little bit more about that. What do you think has been the impact of this past year on evangelism? Do you think it's been easier? Do you think it's been harder? Do you think people have been more open to the gospel?
Oh, well, brother, I mean, I've taken at least 10 funerals, and I've taken 7 from COVID. So there's a death salience. I mean, the really staggering thing is on my road, there's a couple, a gay couple, we're friends, and they had six of them at Christmas lunch, and 3 of the 6 have now died. So, I mean, you're looking at levels of salience. Now, of course, that means you are straight into a conversation about hope. I mean, it's agony, but also this is our story. It's feeling like we're playing home games when for the last 25 years we've been playing away. You know, there's no question that death is absolutely reality. It's gone from taboo to reality. So in that sense, it's been extraordinary, but at the same time, so much pain. Yeah.
Well, I could ask you many more questions, but we need to preserve the time. I'm going to hand over to you, Rico, to lead us through what you've got prepared for this first session.
Great, everyone. Thank you so much, Nick. Everybody, if you've got a pen and paper, it's great just as we start the day to be looking to take some notes, because my objective is to train you just to train others. We're to be disciple making disciples of Christ. So I am an evangelist, Ephesians 4, 10, 11, 12. My job is to equip God's people for works of service. But as I do that, I'd love to give you all a bit of a session where you're just not just hearing yourself, but you're looking to be sharing outside. I mean, the Anglican Church, the best evangelist we ever had was John Wesley, and we threw him out. So, you know, we've all just got to be trying to train others. So what I want you to do as you listen today, and perhaps jot this down, because if you're looking to give a little talk to others, you know, in your fellowship group or whatever it is, and because we're to be disciple making disciples of Christ, could you listen today, therefore perhaps jot this down, not as a reservoir where it just flows into you, but as a river, so that actually you're listening for other people. So as we listen, let's have 2 names at the start of the day: a non-Christian you'd love to speak to who's on your heart, and a Christian who's not here today, but you could pass this on to. Now, particularly if you're younger or not done evangelism before, and you're thinking, well, I might do a little session on evangelism at some point, can I tell you, if you say those 2 names, it changes the listening for the hearer. Just like anyone today, perhaps you've been involved in evangelism far longer than me. If you're listening for other people, you listen so much better. So can we start the day with that? Just a couple of names. And let's pray for them now. Father, we're not here for ourselves. We're here for the glory of Christ and for others. Lord, help today to be a great training day for those 2 people. Oh, Lord, we cry to you for them. And I think of my friend Charlie, and I think of Sahil. Lord, please help this to be a training day for them. Amen. Great. So having got that down, so we're 2 Timothy 2, verse 2 people. You then, my son, be strong in the grace of Christ Jesus. The things you've heard me say in the presence of many witnesses, entrust to reliable people who can teach others. So it's that sense of being passed on. We're to be doing that. We're rivers. So as we do that, let me start with just looking inwards a little bit. So we're just going to look in the mirror before we look out the window. And as we do that, as we just see, well, how are we going? I just want to come to one word. We'll come to the diagram in a moment. It's there. I'm going to go through it. But just the word resilience. Brothers and sisters, we need resilience, particularly in the middle of this pandemic. So you know, what does it mean to be resilient? And resilience is the ability to anticipate, withstand, and bounce back from external pressures. It's the power or ability to return to the original form. Now, the ultimate picture of resilience is our Lord Jesus Christ. So do you think of him in Easter week? He's absolutely set on the cross, and he has 2 things. And this is the heart of resilience: a tough skin, but a soft heart. So think of the softness of his heart. He's up on the cross, and Luke 23, verse 34, he says, "Father, forgive them. They don't know what they're doing," of the people murdering him and dividing up his clothes. So Jesus is absolutely set. Nothing will stop him going to the cross and dying for us. But There's no viciousness or bitterness in his heart as he sets out on that. He remains soft even to his murderers. It's an amazing picture of resilience. And that's what we need. We need to pray for that resilience. Just to say, in the culture at the moment, I think there are three other R's that are the problem. Some Christians, as they look at the country, they're not so much thinking of resilience, they're thinking of recovering the culture. You know, All Souls, my church here in central London, was on the front of the Radio Times in the 1970s. So we were evangelical and respected. Now we're Bible believing and not respected, but we sort of look back and long for those days. In some ways, I think the voting in of Donald Trump was the Christians trying to recover the ground in the states that had been lost. So there were inappropriate alliances made. But that thing of what alliances as we do that, as we want to recover. Secondly, retreat. That's another thing people are doing. Look, we've just got to, you know, go to the subculture. The culture's corrupt and contaminated for me and my children, so it's back to the monastery. Our confidence has gone. You know, so people would say, well, look, my faith is a private and personal thing. It helps me in my life, but I wouldn't dream of imposing it on other people. So there's a real danger of retreat just to social action. That's important, but we got to get the gospel out. Thirdly, and worst of all, there's reconcile to the culture. So accommodate the word of God to the culture. So rub the sharp edges off Jesus' teaching. So what Jesus says about sin and guilt and God's wrath, his uniqueness, human sexuality, these things that sort of, you know, we've got to let them go. And we can't reinterpret. We have to stay faithful or the Holy Spirit will depart. But as against those things, you know, we can't reconcile, we can't retreat, we can't recover. Our job is to be resilient. And as we seek to do that, have soft hearts and tough skins. Let me show you how in the morning I go about that. So if we can flick up the diagram. Thanks so much. Again, this look in the window, look at in the mirror before we look out the window. If we can have it. Here we go. Just jot this down. How do I coach myself, particularly in the middle of COVID, to get going for the gospel each morning when I wake up and I can be feeling a bit overwhelmed? Well, first of all, we get our thinking right. So remember Eve in the Garden of Eden, the devil affected her thinking. He said, you know, God doesn't want you to be like him. You can't trust his word. She felt resentment and she chose to take the apple and rebel. So our thinking leads to our feelings that lead to our choices and our physical health. How do I make sure, brothers and sisters, in the morning, I make the right choices? Well, each morning as I get up, To take captive thoughts for Christ, 2 Corinthians 7, I ask myself the following questions. These are great for lockdown. So I just want to be thrilled with the Lord Jesus at the start of the day. This is what I do. So I go, okay, Rico, how were you converted? And we'll look at this later. 2 Corinthians 4, verse 6. God let his light shine in my heart. He did a miracle and opened my blind eyes. It was a miracle with the power that made the world that meant I'm converted. It's not just I come from I come from a Christian home. No, it's a miracle that I'm converted as God recreated my heart. Secondly, next question, jot it down, please. When were you converted? And the answer to that, of course, is Ephesians 1, verses 4 and 5. For he chose us in him before the creation of the world to be holy and blameless in his sight. In love, he predestined us to be adopted as sons and daughters. Brothers and sisters, you were converted before the world began. When Isaiah, God wrote your name in his hand. I don't know how that makes you feel, but when I think that, I'm just amazed. Lord, I can't believe it. I wasn't just converted in 1982. I was converted when God decided to predestine me before the beginning of time. Thirdly, how does God feel about you today? But now a righteousness from God is revealed that is by faith. How does God feel about me today? Well, I have Christ's righteousness, and therefore what God feels about me is delighted. He's delighted with me because he's delighted with Jesus. And I mean, it's because here's the thing to write down. I relate to God through Christ's performance, not my own. So as I'm trying to get my heart going in the morning, when was I converted? Before the beginning of time. How was I converted? With the power that made the world. How does God feel about me? He's given me Christ's righteousness. It's amazing. Despite my sin, he's thrilled with me because he's thrilled with Jesus. Fourth one, and this is key for COVID, brothers and sisters. What type of day is today? As we have been in lockdown and you know, are still very much there. What type of day is today? Romans 8, verse 28. We know that in all things, God works together for our good. Romans 8, verse 29. What is our good? It's that we're conformed to the likeness of Christ. So today, brothers and sisters, is a great day because today is the day that God has planned. And if it's good for God, it's good for me. So every day is a great day because he's making me more like Jesus. Have I got that in place? So, Rico, what type of day is today in the midst of lockdown? It's a great day because it's a day God has planned to make me more like Christ. Everything in my life is about sanctification. The big plan is to grow me more like Jesus, Romans 8, 28 to 30. Brothers and sisters, let's get that in place. Whatever torpedoes come in, it's to help me grow more like Jesus. But I've got to get that roof on before the storm hits. Don't make me come round to someone's house where they've had the death of a loved one from COVID and try and teach it then. We got to get it before. Next question. Why is today a better day than yesterday? Why is today a better day than yesterday? It's a better day than yesterday because I'm a day closer to seeing Jesus. No eye has seen, no ear has heard, no mind has conceived what God has prepared for those who love him. 1 Corinthians 2 verse 9. So I mean, I just think of Helen Aldborough, who died in hospital. I took a funeral 2 weeks ago, and Helen, you know, she said to the medical staff, she said, please don't waste a bed on me or the oxygen. I'm absolutely ready to go and see my Lord. So just let me go, please. And she died the next day. But actually she knew she was going to see Jesus. Now, and death, well, death is the condition of resurrection. You know, we go into the ground like a bulb, but we come out like a tulip. I mean, the flowers this spring, they're all to tell us about the resurrection. The seed dies, but then we grow. Let's remember, what were cemeteries always called? They were God's orchard because he sowed the seed in there. So we grieve, but not like those who have no hope. Now, brothers and sisters, those questions I'm asking myself, and as I get them into my thinking, I feel my feelings change. Can we jot that down? I feel my feelings change. So in my feelings, I'm then going to one of two places. So as a pastor, there are only one or two places I'm concerned for. Today, as you listen, brother, sister, are you in thanksgiving or resentment? Because in the Garden of Eden, it was resentment that was sown into Eve's heart. So I've got to start the day with getting to thanksgiving. So actually, the way I do that, interestingly, is as I see my sin in the Bible, I'm reminded of God's grace, and then I have joy, and then I want to evangelize and be a disciple. But let's get that golden chain of Christian discipleship. Sin, grace, joy, discipleship, evangelism. I don't just go discipleship, evangelism. I start by those five questions, and then I think about God's goodness to me, and I see in the Bible afresh my sin. And I'm reminded of God's grace, this gift of righteousness. So I'm looking to in the morning say, Rico, where's your heart? Are you in thanksgiving or resentment? And then behaving, just to say the choices. I've already told you that I've lost my temper a couple of times in lockdown. James 3, you can't be teaching the Bible and losing your temper, brothers and sisters. So I'm so aware and would covet your prayers. But what I'm then doing on behaving is I'm putting to death Romans 8, 12 to 15, the sinful nature by the word of God and the spirit of God. So I have verses on anger that I read each morning. In Ephesians 4, this is my Bible in a year here, but Ephesians 4, 26, 27, in your anger, don't sin. Don't let the sun go down while you're angry. Don't give the devil a foothold. Proverbs 25, 28, like a city without walls is a man who lacks self-control. Lord, please give me self-control. I don't want to be a city without walls, so easily to fall. A patient man has great understanding, but a quick-tempered man displays folly. Again, Proverbs 15:18. Blessed are the merciful, for they shall be shown mercy. Matthew 5, verse 7. Lord, help me on that. And then I have a little call that I say to myself in the morning to control myself. A-A-R. Acknowledge my anger if I'm cross. Absorb it. Step back. Respond. Do I speak to the person? Do I just let it go? But what am I doing? A-A-R. Acknowledge it. Absorb it. Respond. So that's on anger. Each day I'm trying to work through on that. And then at the same time, amid lockdown, and I mean, one of the agonies of this time has been an absolute meteoric rise in online porn and that sort of stuff. So what I've got to do is just be making sure that as a Christian worker, there's real purity in that area. So again, going through verses that help that. Joseph to Potiphar's wife, how could I do such a thing and sin against God? What a great verse. Fear the Lord and shun evil, Proverbs 3, verse 7. Be sure that your sin will find you out, Numbers 32, 23. I tell you that anyone who looks at a woman lustfully has already committed adultery with her in his heart. So again, going through the verses just to make sure, Lord, help me to put that to death. And then physical health. Do we see that next? So I'm going round this as I self-lead. I'm going round and I'm looking to just get, you know, what about going out for a walk? I love The Week. It's a magazine. It's my comic for my day off that I read. I'm enjoying watching the selection of the Lions at the moment. And even when England are beaten in the Six Nations, I always love waiting for the games. What are you doing each day to just have that little bit of doctrine of creation, of celebration? So you know, it just what are you doing on physical health? If you're only getting 4 hours sleep, that's going to affect your temper. So how am I managing myself? And then lastly, environment. What is coming in to hit me that I just need to pray about? So you see the circle around it. What's the stuff hitting me? Lord, all things work together for my good. But Lord, this is here. What does it mean to be godly now? One day I'll be in heaven. The pain will be over. But how do I manage that? So different things hitting the environment. One person in my family at the moment has got real mental health issues over COVID. And, you know, it's just realizing that that is going to drain us all as we seek to love and serve them. But I've got it on my map. I've got my thinking, my feeling, my behaving, my physical health. And hopefully as I go through that, as I then come out for the morning and into evangelism, I'm just, brothers and sisters, I'm just thrilled with the Lord. What a story we're in. You know, I mean, here I am. Before the beginning of time, God wrote my name on his hand. He then sent his son to die, which was no small thing. I get born. I'm absolutely self-centered. But in his mercy, he sends his Holy Spirit and turns me around, brings me to himself. He then gives me worthwhile things today, like being able to speak to you today, which is such a privilege. And one day I'll be standing before God. He'll say, Rico Tice, it's good to see you. You've been on my mind a very long time. What a story we're in to tell. And I want to be thrilled with that each day. Please pray I will be. But you see those questions I've got that really try and make me spend the day in thanksgiving and not resentment. I kneel by my bed every morning and every evening. And the reason I do that to give thanks, the reason I do it is years ago, I was with John Chapman, an Australian evangelist. And I went through a series of woes. This is when I was a single guy. And at the end of it, he said, Rico, mate, I had a friend like you, single clergyman like you and I. He committed suicide. If I may say, you're not unlike him. He said, it's obvious listening to you. There's no thanksgiving in your life. I want you to kneel by your bed morning and evening and give thanks to God. And then let's talk again. And you know, that one habit transformed my heart. So am I thankful in the midst of COVID? So brothers and sisters, I wanted to start a day in evangelism by just saying that's what I do internally so that I go sin, grace, joy, all this thanksgiving, and then discipleship and evangelism. And one of the things that we've been finding at All Souls is we've got a lot of work to do in the church family to remobilize the church after lockdown, to see where they are spiritually, to get them thrilled with the gospel as we seek to go out. We are going to go out, but we need to attend to that internal stuff. Now, when you get into groups, which you'll do, we'll do that. Let's just go into groups now. Christine, pop people into groups now. Let's just chat about a little bit just how COVID's been, what strikes you from that outline, how your walk with Jesus is. Let's just have 5 minutes of that and then we'll come back. Let's do that, because it'd just be great to start the day with my own walk, just internal, before we look out to be training others. Super. Let's pop into groups. I'm listening, not just for myself, but for that non-Christian and the Christian. And as we head into key issues on evangelism, we're just going to, can you turn, if you've got Bibles and notes, to 2 Corinthians 4, 1 to 6. Great. Here we are, 2 Corinthians 4, 1 to 6. And unashamedly, I want to say that I think this is the most important passage on evangelism in the Bible. John Chapman, the Australian evangelist, taught me that. We've got to get the key lessons of this in place. So just as I read this to you now, could you jot this question down? I have a rule at All Souls that I teach this to one person a week. So I'm always looking to teach it to somebody. And so you're my people this week. But here's the question. Who is at work in the work of evangelism? Who is at work in the work of evangelism? And that's what we want to begin with as we look at this passage. And then as I read through, could you just jot this down? Here is Paul defending his ministry. He's saying why it was not a failure. In 2 Corinthians chapter 3, he's done a wonderful exposition on the work of the Spirit. And here we are in chapter 4. And let me read through. And so who's at work in the work of evangelism? Do just see if you can dig out the answers. Therefore, since through God's mercy we have this ministry, we don't lose heart. Rather, we've renounced secret and shameful ways. We don't use deception, nor do we distort the word of God. On the contrary, by setting forth the truth plainly, we commend ourselves to every man's conscience in the sight of God. And even if our gospel is veiled, it's veiled to those who are perishing. The God of this age, now that's the devil. And it's a brilliant description of the devil, because he blinds people to this age. Do jot that down. Has blinded the minds of unbelievers so they cannot see the light of the gospel of the glory of Christ, who is the image of God. For we do not preach ourselves, but Jesus Christ as Lord, and ourselves as your servants for Jesus' sake. For God, who said, let light shine out of darkness, made his light shine in our hearts to give us the light of the knowledge of the glory of God in the face of Christ. Great, everyone. Well, who's at work in the work of evangelism? Just have a quick look as we look down. And can we see, this is the methodology for evangelism here. Verse 5, please write this down. Our job is that we preach Christ. So that's what we're doing in evangelism. We preach Christ. And the word preach there for your notes is herald. So we are heralds of Christ. We don't just have the preacher speaking from the front. That's level one of preaching Christ. Secondly, in a small group, we meet together to speak of Jesus in the New Testament. Things like Acts 20 and Jesus with his disciples. There's so much in groups. Thirdly, there are the one another's. So we talk individually. We gossip the gospel. That's the heart of evangelism, isn't it? The individual encounter. And then lastly, we take the Bible home and read for ourselves. So in terms of preaching Christ, obviously we're speaking, but in biblical churches, the word of God goes out front, small group, one-to-one and at home. So we preach Christ. Okay, as we preach Christ, please jot this down. Now, please look at verse 6. And the word I want you to write down is the word confidence. Confidence. This is where our confidence is. As we preach Christ, what does God do? And this is where the confidence is. We just had a little look earlier when I went through my verses. For God who said, let light shine out of darkness. I always say to people, where's that from? Please jot that down. Where's that from? Of course, Genesis 1. So the God who in Genesis 1 said, let there be light. What does he do? Do you see verse 6? He makes his light shine in our hearts to give us the light of the knowledge of the glory of God in the face of Christ. So God does, here's the word, a miracle. with the power that made the world, and he doesn't create our hearts, but he recreates them and gives us the light of the knowledge of the glory of God in the face of Christ. He gets us to see that Jesus is God. So conversion, brothers and sisters, please write this down, is a moment of identification. It's a moment of recognition. Think of Paul, Acts 9, verse 3 on the Damascus Road. Who are you? I'm Jesus. So we recognize who Jesus is. Our blind eyes are opened. And suddenly we go, oh, he's not just a figure of history. He's not just a swear word. He's not just a prophet. He's Lord and God. So what happens? Here's the methodology. As you speak of Jesus, as we get to him, God does the miracle and opens blind eyes. And here's the thing to say. If you don't think he can do it for your friend, my brother and sister, if you look at them and think, well, he can't do it for them, he did it for you. And if he's done it for you, he can do it for them. Great. Well, now, as we come back to this passage, let's just think about how we are to preach Christ. And in the passage, there are at least four applications on how we're to preach Christ. Could you just look for them now? You've just got a minute just to jot those down. So there are at least, as we preach Christ, there are at least four huge instructions here that we're to bear in mind. So have you got the two questions when you train this to others? Who's at work in the work of the gospel? And then secondly, how do we preach Christ? Just take 30 seconds just on your own to dig out the answer to how we preach Christ. What have we got there? Okay, now there are about 150 on, but someone shout out. Someone just give me a thought. Just someone unmute and just give me a quick thought on how we preach Christ. Anyone got an idea?
Setting forth the truth plainly.
Thank you. Setting forth the truth plainly. So brothers and sisters, we've got to tell the truth. So that means that I've got to preach not just Jesus, but Jesus as Lord. Look, if you look at the senior ranks of the Church of England at the moment, they want to talk about Jesus, but not as Lord in terms of human sexuality. To say that there is actually only one place for sex, it's between a man and a woman within marriage, and all other places for it are sinful. And I've got to hold my nerve and say that. Why is that? Because God has given us our bodies and he is Lord. And that's what he calls us to do, because it's his world. It's Jesus's world. So just what are the two areas where we distort the word of God and we don't set it forth plainly? Brothers and sisters, two areas, I think, that will define whether with Passion for Life and the next 20 years we get our evangelism right. We've got to preach God's wrath and we've got to teach repentance. We must hold our nerves there. So what is God's wrath? It's his settled, controlled, personal hostility to evil. So the gospel is not, oh, Lord, my life is empty, fill me, although wonderfully he does. Brothers and sisters, the gospel is, oh, Lord, I'm an offence to you, rescue me. On the Christianity Explored course, we spend weeks 2 to 7 going, you're not good people going to heaven. Can you see the move? You're sinners going to hell. So I've got to teach not just sin and judgment, but I've got to teach wrath and hell. And I've got to say that. And by the way, as I do that, I float it. So I say to people, listen, this is wonderful. When you're teaching judgment, give a smile. And your swing thought, like golf, you know, is I believe in the Holy Spirit and I'm for you. So mind your tone. Tone is so important. But we're saying to people, how I treat you matters to God. How you treat me matters to God. How we treat the world matters to God. You know, this dear girl that's disappeared from Brixton, this 33-year-old, I mean, it doesn't look good. It looks desperate. I don't know what we're going to do. But what I'm saying is it matters to God. And maybe the perpetrator, because it does look terrible, will never be found. But it matters to God. And he'll judge. So judgment's a good thing. Secondly, repentance. What is repentance? Repentance is, here's the definition, I'm for what Jesus is for and I'm against what Jesus is against. And I'm to call people to stop. Now, that's why liberals don't love their people, because they leave them in their sin. But our job is to say, no, brother, sister, we must stop that. No, Jesus is Lord. He knows what's best for our body. But here's the issue. as you call people to repent, remember verse 6, God regenerates their heart. So he grants them the gift of repentance. Acts 11, verse 18, 2 Timothy 2, verse 24. So as you say, stop it, in their hearts, the Holy Spirit goes, yes, stop it. So hold your nerve. Tell people. So you know, and again, can't we trust Jesus to know what's best? Look at his life. Look what he's come to do on Good Friday and Easter Day. Trust him to know what's best. So first of all, set forth the truth plainly. What's another application? Here's another one. Pray. Because we don't just teach. Brothers, sisters, we got to pray. How are your prayers going? So verse 6, let light shine out of darkness. Oh God, please, my friend, Lord. Please, Charlie, Lord, open his eyes. Last night on Christian Explored, he was so far away from getting the gospel and the resurrection. Lord, we need a miracle. So we pray. Why do we pray? Verse 4, the God of this age has blinded them. So the there are spiritual cataracts on their eyes. So we've got to pray. There'll be hunger for them. It was Alistair Begg who said, the devil laughs at a sermon that is not bound in prayer. And Lord, you know, I need God to turn on the light. God needs to be the one that switches the light on. Lord, you need to do the miracle. So secondly, prayer. But thirdly, oh, brothers and sisters, this is so important. The results belong to God. So whether my mate Charlie comes to faith or not is not up to me. God has to do the miracle and open blind eyes. I cannot switch the light on. My job, though, is verse 5. Rico, did you preach Jesus as Lord? With graciousness, did you say, look, Charlie, mate, I think this is an eternal issue. This is heaven and hell. Quite often, by the way, I get out my little, I keep a cigarette packet with me. And I get out the packet and I show the warning on the packet. And I say, look, if I just lit up, you'd be right, as my friend, to say, Rico, that's dangerous. Well, this is dangerous here. God's put some speed bumps in. He is going to say at the end of our lives, these are the two questions. Did you know me and have you had your sin forgiven? So, but the results belong to him. And therefore, my job is to just tell the truth. And I had a good friend who was sacked from a church in Canada for lack of results, when as far as I could see, he was doing everything right. And of course, if the results belong to me, then what's going to happen? If lots of people become a Christian, what will happen? I'll be proud. If none become a Christian, I'll be discouraged. Either way, I'll be a pain in the neck to all of you. So let's remember the results are the Lord's. And when someone's converted, we say, oh, God, you've done a miracle. I just, you know, it's just, this is an amazing thing. I want to just read you something that got sent to me. This was a guy a couple of weeks ago that I'd been reading the Bible to him, with him on Sunday nights for 6 months. He was a Sikh guy. And he sent me this. One moment. So I'll just I got this text from him. Let me read it to you. Here it is. Rico, are you free for a few moments today? I think I'm ready to take the first official step, probably more than halfway there already. So could I kindly ask you to do the honors of doing the sinner's prayer with me? So that's, he texted me this after we've been reading for 6 months. And then he wrote his own prayer. Here's the prayer that he wrote for me. But I won't read all of it. But I've sinned. And now I know, dear Lord, that I've not shown your standards. My eyes have been opened to my sinful nature. I wish to start repenting and following you. So he wrote his own prayer. But guys, it's the Lord. The Lord's opened his eyes. That's a miracle he's done. The next application on how we do it, of course, is again humility. If God has done that for us, then we just go, Lord, I just can't believe it. It's just thanksgiving and humility that he can do it in other people, and confidence. There's lots more in that passage, but so we've got that. So we need God to open blind eyes. We ourselves, we need to be preaching Christ. But there's another one. Can we see verse 5? Have a look down. For we do not preach ourselves, but Jesus Christ as Lord, and ourselves as your servants. The third thing we've got to do is work out, what does it mean to be someone's servant? And I wonder if we could just stick up the next slide, Christine. So here are the three great themes on evangelism. 2 Corinthians chapter 4, and you see we've got God's sovereignty. Lord, the results belong to you. Please open blind eyes. This is your work. Secondly, gospel integrity. We've got to tell the truth. But thirdly, creativity. What does it mean to reach for people, to be their servants for Jesus' sake? And just for that one, could you just turn back to 1 Corinthians 9, verses 19 to 23? And these are the three great principles of evangelism. Let me read you 1 Corinthians 9, 19 to 23. Here it is. And Paul writes, though I'm free and belong to no one, I've made myself a slave to everyone to win as many as possible. To the Jews, I became like a Jew to win the Jews. To those under the law, I became like one under the law, so as to win those under the law. To those not having the law, I became like one not having the law, so as to win those not having the law. To the weak, I've become weak to win the weak. I've become all things to all people, so by all possible means, I might save some. I do all this for the sake of the gospel, that I may share in its blessing. Well, what does it mean to reach people in the midst of COVID? That's been so huge. And so here is Paul, and he relates to people and to God through the death of Jesus. He doesn't need any human custom to save him. But nevertheless, every encounter and personal habit is controlled by evangelism. He lays down his life. He's prepared to sacrifice issues of racial identity and religious sensitivity with one goal in mind: to win as many as possible. So the question is, what methods are most appropriate for my hearers? How can I best express a desire for their inclinations, sensitivities of the hearers? So here's the issue. With my right hand rock solid on doctrine and belief, so we're going to state the truth plainly. We're not going to stop talking about wrath and repentance. We're going to do Jesus as Lord with the right tone. But my left hand is reaching for people in terms of practice and methodology. So, for example, Christianity Explored and Alpha have been running on Zoom because people can't come to church. How do we get to them? And we have found that far, far more people are prepared to come home, put their slippers on, get themselves a cup of tea, turn on the computer at 8 o'clock, and they'll just join. But it takes energy. So what does it mean to reach people in the midst of COVID or at any other time? What does evangelism look like in a pandemic? Now, these are the three great themes of evangelism. I've got to pray, I've got to tell the truth, and I've got to have energy. Can you jot those three down for this, please? God's sovereignty, gospel integrity, our creativity. And Lord, it's your work. You're the one who does it. You open eyes. Integrity, tell the truth, creativity, energy. And perhaps you could write somebody down who will help you with your prayers. So who's someone you know who will help you to pray? Just Anne Neller was at All Souls. She was a wonderful prayer warrior. Talking to her about prayer was just such a help. Integrity. Who helps you tell the truth? There's a guy called Duncan Boyd. And I must say he's very straight. My wife is very good at it too. Rico, have you told the truth when you've preached a sermon? Have you been real? Creativity. My last boss, Hugh Palmer, was amazing at saying, let's try this, let's try that. There's a guy here at All Souls called Pele, who's always got ideas. Why don't we do this? What can we do as we come out of lockdown? He's just written me an email. Why don't we try that? So let's just go into our groups now, just as we close, and then we'll stay in the groups, just pulling that together. And then the next session at 12 o'clock, we'll come back. But let's just go into our groups. And can you see, can I have the next slide, Christine? Let's just apply these three principles. Next slide. what happens if I've got sovereignty and creativity, but not integrity? And then the next slide is, again, as we go through, what happens if I've got sovereignty and integrity, but not creativity? And lastly, what happens if I've got gospel integrity and creativity, but not sovereignty? So over to you in groups, then we'll have a break, and then see you again at 12 o'clock. Great. A little time in the groups, but then have a good break, and then we'll come back and just feedback a little bit on that. I'm going to ask Nick about God's sovereignty, then we'll do the next session. Great. Over to you in the groups.